We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
My friends, today I have an important question for us to consider. What is Christianity? You might say that it is the religion of Christ, or the religion of Jehovah God, or the religion of the Bible. And these would all be good answers. You might say that it is the last of Jehovah's three great dispensations, or religions. The first two were the patriarchal and the Mosaic, and this would be correct. You might say Christianity is the new and living way. That is the way the writer of Hebrews described it in Hebrews 10 and 20, and that would be a correct, inspired answer. One might say that Christianity is the crown, the climax, and the culmination of Jehovah's wisely designed and firmly executed scheme of human redemption. And this would surely be correct. A person might say that Christianity is the law of Christ. That is the way Paul described it in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, when he wrote, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Yes, one might say that Christianity is the religion of biblical authority. It is the great commission that the Lord gave, as recorded in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. It might be said that Christianity is the divine religion, seeking to form Christ within the life of an individual. Other good answers might be given. Christianity is the reproduction of Christ in the individual's heart, his speech, and his life. All of these answers are correct. They are biblically based upon divine truth. But in dealing with the Bible subject, it is frequently wise to practice the view of considering both the negative and the positive. The Bible often does this in the presentation of a subject. For example, Paul lists the works of the flesh as found in Galatians 5:19-21. And then he contrasts in verses 22 to 23 by showing the fruits of the Spirit. In the third chapter of Galatians, Paul tells the Christian what they should put off in the way of worldly wickedness, and then what they should put on as a child of God, both the positive and the negative. Another good example would be the positive and the negative, as seen in Paul's statement in Titus 2:11-12. He deals with both the Christian's life, what he should do and what he should not do, what Christian should oppose and what he should espouse. The apostle declared, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust," that's the negative, "we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world," that's the positive. Now let us consider both the negative and the positive aspects of Christianity. First of all, what Christianity is not. Christianity is not the patriarchal dispensation. This was a family religion, which we read about in the early part of the Bible. It was a family religion where the father served as the priestly head and directional leader for the entire family. The patriarchal religion required the offering of animal sacrifices. Such is neither part nor parcel of the Christian religion. Christianity is not the Mosaic economy. That religious dispensation had its origin upon the summit of Sinai. Moses was its lawgiver. The Levites constituted its priest, and the family of Aaron supplied its various high priests for some 15 long centuries. The Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue, formed the ten pillars upon which rested this covenant between God and Israel. This was a national religion and was not given to the world at large. It was given to the Israelites and to the Israelites only. Moses made this clear in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, when he said, "Jehovah our God made this covenant with us at Horeb. Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day." The very fact that this law demanded all Hebrew males to assemble three times each year at the central place of the sanctuary later Jerusalem, showed very conclusively that this covenant did not include the whole world or the entire world. The Mosaic dispensation was but the shadow or type of the substance and the antitype which would be found in Christianity. Christianity is not Roman Catholicism. Catholicism began in the midst of the great apostasy. Christianity began upon the very foundation of truth and nothing but the truth. Catholicism has its papacy, its special priesthood, and its doctrine and practices peculiar to that institution. Roman Catholicism and the New Testament are not the same. Christianity is not Protestantism. The ages of these two movements make that most obvious to any Bible student. Christianity has nearly 2,000 years of history, while Protestantism has yet about full 5 centuries of age, if the initial work of Martin Luther is counted to be the beginning, as most students consider. Christianity had been upon the earth about 1,500 years when the first breath of Protestantism became a religious reality. Protestantism had its multiplicity of churches. Christianity has just one church, the Lord's church, the Church of Jesus Christ. My friends, are you listening? Protestantism has its many creeds and sources of authority. Christianity has the one creed, the Bible, and only the Bible, and only one authority, Christ Jesus Himself. Protestantism has many ways of conversions. Christianity has the one way, gospel obedience. Christianity says that there is only one way to heaven, and that is by way of the cross, with Christ being the complete guide and authoritative commander. Protestantism had its beginning in an effort to reform Catholicism. Christianity began with an entirely different purpose in mind, that is, the salvation of mankind. My friends, I say, are you listening? Don't you know that Protestantism thrived on division? Christianity stands for religious unity and makes its greatest advances within the realm of true biblical unity, predicated upon divine truth, the only basis of one faith and one hope, expressed by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Protestantism thrives on innovations. Christianity stresses loyalty and fidelity to the truth, and nothing but the truth. Christianity is not Judaism. Modern-day Judaism means a rejection of Jesus of Nazareth as the long-awaited Messiah. Christianity means a complete acceptance of Him as the only begotten Son of God. Judaism denies His virgin birth, His sinless life, His sacrificial atonement on Calvary, His resurrection, His ascension, His being raised from the dead, and the present reign upon David's throne, and the entire doctrine of the second coming and the final judgment. Judaism still is looking for the coming of the first Messiah. They have for centuries, and that will continue, no doubt, among those who are conservative about their religion. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is built upon the very verge of things that Judaism denies. Christianity affirms the virgin birth, His sinless life, His sacrificial offering for the sins of the world, His resurrection, His ascension, His current reign upon the power of David's throne in heaven, and the entire scope of biblical finals, such as the second coming and the raising of all the dead, His judgment of all mankind, and the pronouncing of the two eternal destinies for all mankind. What Judaism denies in its basic makeup, Christianity affirms. What Christianity denies, Judaism affirms for the most part. These two systems of religious thought and practice are poles apart. Never shall the twain meet, because Judaism must give total ground to Christianity according to the wisdom of the Godhead revealed in the Bible. Christianity is not antiism on the one hand, nor liberalism on the other hand. God is both bound and loosed, according to the teaching of the Bible. These are the two realms where antiism and liberalism find their operating power. Antiism is the situation in the right field of religion which seeks to bind where God has loosed. They seek to erect the generics of Christianity into the specifics of Christianity. They make laws where God has made none. They seek to bind a method of how the church may carry out its mission to preach the gospel and practice benevolence, which God has left within the realm of expediency. Antiism would destroy the work of the church. It would keep the various congregations from cooperating in just such works as the International Gospel Hour. It would rob the church of the opportunity to help those who are not members of the Lord's church. It would uphold that support that comes from other sources and yet deny the Church of the Lord its privilege to help those in need, helping homes to care for the orphans and the like. Beloved, are you listening? Christianity is not liberalism. Liberalism is situated way out in left field. Liberalism seeks to loose where God has bound. It takes the specifics of God and seeks to make them into the generics. Liberalism denies the desirability of going back to the New Testament as an imperative blueprint for our religious guidance and future direction. Liberalism does not believe in the total authority of the Scriptures. To them, truth is relative. To the liberal, they are not all authoritative, that is, the Scriptures are not. They are not inerrant. They are not all sufficient. Liberalism would lead the Lord's church away from the old paths and into the mainstream of Protestant denominationalism. The liberal in religion has a great love for intellectual attainments and not much love for the book, chapter, and verse preaching of the Bible. The liberal is out to destroy the God of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible, and the Church of the Bible, and the Bible itself. My friends, if liberalism wins the day and carries the fight to victory, what a dark, dismal day that day will be. If liberalism is so, we might as well throw away our Bibles and forget all about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and the way of spiritual salvation revealed in the Bible. Liberalism is set to destroy the Lord's church. And remember, the church of the Lord is equivalent to Christianity. Christianity is not the social gospel. The social gospel plays down sin and salvation and heaven. It is concerned with better housing for people instead of going to that better home of the soul in the next world. The social gospel is concerned with food for the body, but not much for the gospel food for the souls of the lost. The social gospel advocates far more concern about providing clothing for the person's body rather than clothing him with the garments of righteousness and in the dress of dedicated discipleship to Jesus. The social gospel proponent is far more concerned in every person having voting rights on election day than in their election to eternal life by gospel obedience and faithful to the gospel of our Lord throughout his life. The advocates of the social gospel are more concerned about moving men out of the ghettos than eradicating the ghettos out of the hearts of hardened men and abandoned women. Pie now, and not pie in the sky later, is the cry of the social gospel. Quite obviously, the Christian religion does not place all the emphasis upon the here and now. It recognizes the here and the now and our responsibilities of the present, but places major emphasis upon the salvation of the never-dying souls of humanity in eternity. Christianity is not a social gospel. Christianity is not the new morality or situation ethics about which we've heard much in recent years. The so-called new morality is not really new. It surely is not moral. It is the old immorality in a new dress and with a sophisticated approach to make sin sociably acceptable. Such an ungodly rejection of biblical absolutes within the realm of the moral and the right are characteristics of this new doctrine. This satanic system advocates that morality is determined within a given situation. perhaps in a parked automobile or a rented motel. Not what the Bible says. Situation ethics has enough elasticity within its satanic system to make right almost anything God stamps as wrong. Contrary to the sophisticated sinners, what they may say about it, the permissive, promiscuous age, morality is not relative. It is definitely absolute and is established by the moral governor of the universe, God Almighty, being set forth within the code of human actions and reactions revealed in the Bible. Christianity and the new morality are as far apart as are the authors of Christianity, Jesus Christ, and the sly author of the situation ethics, the devil. Christianity is not the unity in diversity type of thing which we are hearing more and more about today. If this philosophy operated only within the realm of opinion and not in the realm of doctrine, then there would not be such serious objections to it as long as our opinions did not conflict with what the Bible says. But this is not the realm where this coined expression is now taking effect. Men today, by the masses, want to have the total freedom to believe and practice anything they desire in the realm of religion without anyone having the right to call and question their conduct. My friends, hear me. Are you listening? As far as doctrine or teaching is concerned, how could there possibly be unity and diversity at the same time? Think about it. Unity means togetherness. Diversity implies a state of difference or unlikeness. Unity in diversity in religion does not make any more sense than a very strange expression coined within recent years, Christian atheist. One cannot be a Christian and an atheist at the same time. One cannot be a married bachelor or a married old maid at the same time. The terms are mutually exclusive. So are the words unity in diversity. Christianity is not the essence or composition of feelings and emotionalism, which are so characteristic of the modern-day makeup of either Pentecostalism or Neo-Pentecostalism. 20th century citizens are not promised the 9 miraculous gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are not recipients of the Holy Spirit baptism today. Nobody can talk with the same type of miraculous tongues as we read about in Acts chapters 2, 10, and 19. These gifts of the Spirit only belong to the infant period of the church. They were employed to confirm the Word while inspired men whom the Lord chose were upon this earth. When the Word was confirmed and the Bible was completed, it was once and for all time confirmed and affirmed by the inspired apostle, as you read in Jude 3. Therefore, there is no need, no promise, for such miraculous and supernatural gifts for men today. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is the true religion of Jesus Christ, revealed in the New Testament, sufficient for all.